WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Presidential candidates are making their final arguments in the states that'll decide who goes to the White House. Correspondent Jared Hill is in Warren, Michigan.
In Western battlegrounds Thursday, both candidates zeroed in on women voters. In Phoenix, Vice President Kamala Harris seized on comments made by former President Donald Trump when he said he's going to protect women from migrants, whether they like it or not.
He does not believe women should have the agency and authority to make decisions about their own bodies.
He called you garbage.
Trump tried to keep attention on President Biden's comments from earlier in the week, seemingly calling a Trump supporter's remark garbage.
To quote a long-gone comic strip called Pogo, we've seen the news, and it's us. CBS is being sued. Here's Jennifer Kuiper.
In the complaint, former President Donald Trump says CBS's 60 Minutes interview of his Democratic rival, Kamala Harris, earlier this month was misleading. He alleges that the network aired two different responses from Harris regarding a question about the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza.
CBS News says the interview was not doctored and 60 Minutes did not hide any part of the vice president's answer to the question at issue. A 7-week strike that has shut down Boeing assembly lines may be nearing an end. Cairo Radio's Matt Markovich has more from Seattle on a tentative agreement.
A tweet sent out by the union says negotiators have reached an agreement on a proposal that calls for a 38% wage increase over 4 years, a $12,000 ratification bonus, the previous amount was $7,000, and a $5,000 lump sum payment into an employee's 401k plan.
Well, that news comes just ahead of this morning's October jobs report. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says expectations are low.
Remember, both the Boeing strike and two hurricanes hit during the reference period of this report. And that's likely to negatively impact the result.
In New York, opening statements expected today in the manslaughter trial of a Marine Corps vet charged with killing a homeless man in a subway train. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
It took over a week to pick a jury, and it wasn't only because this is a high-profile case. The prosecution claimed that the defense picked jurors based on racial criteria. The defense maintained that they were merely staying away from anyone who had some involvement with drug abuse, mental illness, and homelessness.
In Atlanta, Jeffrey Williams, better known as rapper Young Thug, has been released after pleading guilty to racketeering, weapons, and drug charges.
I take full responsibility for, my crimes or my charges.
Instead of jail time, he gets probation. Wall Street, S&P futures are up 15.25. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Badgers on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. At 5-3, Luke Fickell asked if he's concerned about getting to a bowl game this year.
All we're thinking about is Iowa. And, to think anything past that is crazy.
NFL, the Packers injury list growing. Defensive back Jaire Alexander with a knee injury. Jordan Love with a groin. Starting center Josh Myers with a severe left wrist injury that could prevent him from blocking and pass protection.
It's really It's just going to depend on how I feel these next couple days, and whether or not I feel like I can do it. I think the big thing for me is I just got to make sure I'm not going to hurt the team by playing, so I just have to answer that question.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Grizzlies 122-99. A lot of missed open shots.
This may be the greatest make-miss night ever. The defensive transition was still awful tonight.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. They host the Cavaliers tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Holiday movie season is about to kick off, and there are two big films to be released in the next couple weeks. And theater owners and studio executives are hoping they crush the gate. It's not quite Barbenheimer, but Gladiator 2 and Wicked both open November 22nd, and cumulatively are estimated to pull in almost $150 million to help kick off the holiday box office. Hopefully these films match the amount of buzz and hype that is brewing throughout Hollywood. A Hollywood actor is headed to prison for 12 months and a day for his part in the January 6th insurrection in 2016. 2021. Actor Jay Johnston has appeared in shows like Bob's Burgers, Parks and Rec, Arrested Development, and the critically acclaimed Mr. Show. According to NBC News, the actor, who was also in Anchorman and Men in Black 2, pleaded guilty to obstructing officers during civil disorder. According to Variety, the actor stole a police shield to help make a wall against police and pinned an officer against a doorframe and was arrested a month later. Tough way to get a new headshot. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid to upper 40s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine, warmer, mid to upper 50s. And then we have more rain on the way Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, could there be winds of change blowing through the northern part of Wisconsin? We'll talk to Kyle Kilborn running against Tom Tiffany. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. We are kicking off hour number two of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba here on a Thursday night. Happy Halloween, everybody. Wherever you are joining us from, welcome. We are broadcasting statewide here in Wisconsin on the radio, worldwide, if you have what I like to call the interwebs. Great to have you with me tonight. Conrad is riding shotgun, working the board, trying to make sense of his costume. He lost his hat.
Yes.
So it's not quite complete, but no. It's
50%.
Funny. I like it.
25.
Our question tonight is, where do you rank Halloween on the list of holidays? Where do you place it? That is our question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. We will read your text on the radio. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, are you carrying, this is in reference to my prisoner costume, Pete, are you carrying your wallet prison style? I think I know what that means. It can only mean one thing. And my guess is Tom's watched a lot of Oz, maybe. He says, or keys, ouch. Yeah, I'd rather lose my keys than carry the keys prison style. Eric from Lodi says, I always rank holidays that give me a paid day. Number one, Thanksgiving. Number two, Christmas. Number three, 4th of July. Number four, Memorial Day. Number five, Labor Day. Number six, Halloween. Yeah, I'm gonna put Halloween back a bit. I got a little too excited at the start of the show, but I think as I get older, my kids are past trick-or-treating age, maybe 10th. Monica from Mount Horeb says, Halloween is number one, hands down, no stress, lots of candy. What more could you want? Monica in Blue Mounds. Thank you, Monica. That makes a lot of sense to me. Eric continues, oops, number six is New Year's Day, but Halloween is my favorite unpaid holiday. Yeah, I don't know. New Year's Day is a tough one because you kind of, most people have to go back to work right away the next day. You got some football on, some food. It is fun. I don't know. Linda from Milwaukee, clap emoji and a heart. Thank you, Linda. If there's more to that text, we didn't get it. I apologize. But either way, we will take your loving emojis. And finally, not finally, but for now, we're going to get to our guest. But Maggie says, Helene Walsh here. I know Joe would like to pre-record with you. I don't think that was meant for us, Conrad.
I do not think so.
Steady Eddie says, boo, Pete and Conrad. I wanted to see your costumes on this Halloween night, so Siri asked me to help. I asked her to show me some websites where I could watch Pete Schwabba on Civic Radio, also known as Civil Radio, if you're really scoring at home. She began to search, Siri, searching for Pete Schwabba on Civic Radio. I've heard worse, Eddie, when it comes to my name, believe me. I've heard
Peach Cobbler.
Peach Cobbler, that's the big one. From now on, you will forever be known, at least to me, as Pete Schwabba. I can live with that. Star of radio, TV, and the silver screen, or on Halloween night, the silver scream. Get it? And then he says, ah, a scream. Steadfast Edward. He's Steadfast Edward tonight, not Steady Eddie. So thanks for the text. Keep them coming. We will get to the rest of these texts after we talk to our next guest. I'm very excited. We have just great guests tonight. Jenny Slate is here from at 7:35. She's from Parks and Rec and Bob's Burgers. And we played a very funny clip of her before on Saturday Night Live. But right now, I'm excited to talk some noir with my next guest, who I just met last month. Her name is Mariah Gates. She writes for RogerEbert.com. She's a Chicago-based film critic. And she joins me tonight to talk noir. Noir-vember, should I say. Mariah, how are you? Oh, you dressed up. I love it. Oh, that is fantastic. Where did you get a costume like that? Oh, that's great. A for effort, and it looks fantastic. Better than my costume, which I paid like $4 for at a store to take my kids trick-or-treating, but I've gotten a lot of mileage out of it. But you look great. Thank you. It's great to see you. Thank you for being here tonight. How are you? Yeah. I'm with you. I am totally with you. Hey, where do you rank Halloween? You obviously are getting into it, so you're a fan. Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. All right. Well, mine was top five, but I don't get into it as much as I used to, but I was just curious. That's right. Wow. Good gig. Oh, that's so funny. All right, Mariah, I think we have an issue with our StreamYard feed, so I apologize for this, but I'm wondering if we can call you on the phone to continue the rest of this interview. Would that be okay? All right, fantastic. Conrad, how do you want to do this? Do you have Mariah's
number? I'm going to call it right now.
Okay, he's got your number. He's going to call you. You can stay on the stream if you like, but let's do the audio part through the phone, okay? All right, that's Mariah Gates. She's with us. We're going to talk Noir-vember. I don't know how you guys feel about noir. I love it, and I'm very excited to get her take on some of the movies that I've seen that I like that are noir. Steady Eddie texts again, says, Pete, can't hear your guest. I know. We're on it, Steady Eddie. Thank you for letting us know, though. I don't know what's going on with our stream tonight. Linda, no, we already read that one. Steve from Florida says, number one, Christmas. Number two, Thanksgiving. Number three, Halloween. I'm with you, Steve, except the Halloween. I think Halloween would have been number three when I was younger. Now I don't even think I have it in the top five, but it's definitely probably the third most popular holiday. So anyway, all right, we have Mariah back. She is with us still. Mariah, sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with our stream. We had some issues last night too, but it's good to have you either way.
Oh, no worries. As long as you can hear me now.
We're all set. All right, let's talk Noir-vember. For those listening, tell us what Noir-vember is.
So it's a online holiday. Well, it's not online anymore, but it started out as an online celebration of noir. I didn't have a job then either. No, I have a job now. People pay me. But back then, no one paid me anything. And so I was just watching movies, and I really wanted to see it into noir. This was 2010, so this is Noir-vember 15 this year. And wow. I decided to tackle, I think at the time it was IMDb's top 50 list, so like take that with a grain of salt. I have since realized some of those films were not really noir, but it was a good list. And so I tried to invite people to do it with me. That's like the hashtag. I think I had one friend who watched Laura with me, and shout out to my friend Lily. No one else joined me. It was just me watching Noir Into the Void. But I kept doing it every year, and using hashtag and posting on various social medias. And eventually some libraries started joining in, and then a lot of illustrators started drawing, like, you know, gumshoes and attempts at towels and stuff as their like warm-up drawings. And then you started to see video stores join in, and then you saw rep theaters join in, and now like who is it? So the, one of the repertory print companies in the UK has an entire like buyer and our member package and play it in your theater.
Nice.
So it's become a whole thing. I'm actually going to be in Boston next week to at the Brattle where I'm introducing a Noirvember series. So it's come a, it's created this whole thing where I think probably 99.9% of the people who do Noirvember have no idea who I am, which is hilarious because it started out as literally just me in a bunch of movies.
So you started this whole thing.
Yeah,
that's really impressive. And I'm glad that there's a celebration of this because I'm sure you've seen probably way more noir movies than I have, but for people listening that might not know, like to me, noir is detectives and gumshoes and dames and cigarettes and shadows and black and white. How do you describe what makes something film noir?
Well, you know, this is up for debate on whether you're a purist and historians have, you know, lots of thoughts. And the like basic answer is that if you're talking about the original era, it's roughly 1921 to 1959, and it had to do with the like post Great Depression sort of economic hardships coupled with World War II and all of the nihilism and death that was coming. A lot of the early noir directors were immigrants who had left, fled Hitler's Europe, basically. And they were bringing a lot of this darkness with them and reflecting how America, this shiny place, was actually not that shiny.
Yeah.
I'm not adherent to the era is the only era. Like, I'm more of a noir as a, like, tone. I think Eddie Muller, who founded the Film Noir Foundation and is known as the Czar of Noir, has the best. He's been doing this longer than anybody pounding the pavement to get noir taken seriously. And he has the greatest one sentence description of how you know a movie is noir. And he calls it suffering with style.
Oh, that's great. My guest is Mariah Gates. She writes for RogerEbert.com, and she is a Chicago-based film critic who is the creator of Noirvember. If people want more information, Mariah, what social media platform do you suggest they go to find out more about Noirvember?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/Noirvember, and that's where I post most of my things that I find. Like if whenever I find that someone is doing a celebration or a screening or whatever, I put it on there. I also, throughout the month of Noirvember, a lot of bloggers will be blogging their way through the month. And so I try as many as I can find articles or blog posts, or a lot of people do TikTok and YouTube videos as well. I try to post all of those to the Noirvember Facebook page, just as sort of an aggregate for the celebration.
Okay, perfect. When we got to do a very quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you what your favorite films are. And then I'm just going to throw this out there, but it's too bad we don't live closer to each other. We could really crash a party with our costumes. I think we're really rocking some boss threads. I don't know if you agree.
I think so.
You put a little more thought into your costume than I did with mine. All right. My guest is Mariah Gates. We are talking Noirvember, her own creation. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of our favorite noir films. And maybe we'll touch on Terry Garr if we have time, too. We'll be right back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Ignoring established federal law, the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority overturned two lower court decisions and allowed Virginia to continue its purge of suspected registered non-citizen voters. News outlets have since confirmed that eligible Virginia voters were among them. Virginia is the latest state which has pushed such purges without adequate investigation to support a national GOP narrative, sweeping up American-born and naturalized citizens in the process. The National Voter Registration Act prohibits any purges within 90 days of an election. Virginia Public Radio and NPR have already found eligible voters on the list who apparently checked the wrong box at the DMV and now have had their registrations canceled. A similar purge of over 3,200 purported non-citizens in Alabama was halted in federal court in October. Court documents showed over 2,000 of them were valid U.S. citizens and eligible voters. In Texas, after Governor Abbott trumpeted that 6,500 non-citizen voters would be purged, the Secretary of State's office found only 581 were registered illegally, according to the Texas Tribune. Even more alarming is the Supreme Court's willingness to ignore established federal law and render a decision which, at the very least, has an appearance of partisanship, and worse, what that appearance could mean for post-election litigation. We have links to check a registration at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons will speak with such a screech.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
Okay. I'm charmed. I wouldn't say I'm particularly frightened. welcome back. Our guest is Mariah Gates. She is a Chicago-based film critic who created Noirvember. And if you love film noir, you found us at the right time. Mariah, so what are some of your favorite films in the noir genre?
Yeah, my favorite, and I rewatch it every year, is Laura. Otto Preminger's Laura. Stars Jean Tierney as the titular woman whose murder potentially brings a bunch of people together, and you sort of find out about Laura from the perspective of the people who knew her. It's an adaptation of a book by Vera Caspary. The book is a little different. It's in three sections, but I think the movie is just like one of the greatest things that classic Hollywood ever produced.
I am embarrassed to say I've never seen that film. I've also not seen In a Lonely Place.
That was going to be my next
second one.
My next title, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at a list and I've seen quite a few of them: Touch of Evil, Sunset Boulevard, Double Indemnity, Usual Suspects. Dark City was on there.
Dark City is absolutely noir. Yes,
that I didn't.
It's
even
like a sci-fi noir, but it's noir.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Why doesn't Rufus Sewell work more? Why don't we see him in more stuff?
I don't know. He's so good.
He's great. He's got a really cool look, and he's just a really good actor. What about, do you consider L.A. Confidential a noir?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I watch that one every year as well. I usually end the month by watching L.A. Confidential, like on the 30th of November.
Really? Okay. See,
yeah.
I'm glad I asked you about that because it is truly one of my favorite. I think it's a flawless film.
It's perfect.
Yes. And it's one of those, these are rare, but it's one of those movies. The first time I saw it, I was like, I wish this was longer. And I don't say that very often.
One time they showed it at the Music Box on 35mm.
Oh,
and I,
nice.
At the time, was working for Turner Classic Movies. So we had sponsored the screening. And I rode a car with James Ellroy. So
whoa.
That was an experience in and of itself. Yes.
Did you get to talk? Like, did you have a conversation with him?
Yeah, we talked with him. Yeah, he had a lot to say about Kevin Spacey. So,
oh,
that's less unshared. But this was before all of that came to light, and he had a lot to say. And then when the news dropped, I was like, oh wow, everybody knew about this.
You know, it's
said anything.
Yeah, I had one actress in particular told me something about Harvey Weinstein, and she didn't. It wasn't like. it's terrible because it shouldn't have happened, but it wasn't like hardcore, you know, force or anything like that, but it was just creepiness.
And it was enough for you to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, what can I do? But I was just horrified. And I, when that Kevin Spacey stuff came out, I couldn't believe that either. And it's too bad because he's so good in that movie. And the whole cast, Kim Basinger, Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe. So, yeah, that's interesting. Okay. And then where do you rank, like, Blue Velvet was on the list, too. That's a great noir.
Yeah, I think that counts as a noir.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that movie. David Lynch is my favorite director. I've watched that movie probably too many times. I've seen it on the big screen at least 6 times.
Wow, no kidding.
A consummate midnight movie, that one. You can always find it around college campuses.
I remember when I was like 17 when I went to see that in downtown Chicago at there used to be the Fine Arts Theater right across from Grant Park.
Oh,
it was Grant Park at the time. I don't know if it's still there, but and it was, I was watching Dennis Hopper and I'm like, what am I watching? I was like this kid from a small town. And as I got older, I realized how funny it was. There were some really funny moments in that movie, you know?
Yeah. His Lost Highway is also, I think, like surreal noir.
Is that the Robert Blake?
Yeah. That one's with Bill Pullman. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And you know what else was on here? Is One False Move.
Oh, yeah.
The Billy Bob Thornton, Bill Paxton film. I love, love
Carl
that
Franklin.
Movie.
Carl Franklin has two of the great 90s noirs. He's got that one and he's got Devil in a Blue Dress. Both those movies are perfect.
Wow. Yeah. One False Move is just like the perfect premise. This small town sheriff, and I'm going to give everybody my own popcorn pick tonight because Bill Paxton plays this small town sheriff who's kind of in over his head, and he knows these drug dealers are on their way to, is he a small town in Arkansas, right, sheriff?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, and these bad drug dealers are on their way, and he's full of bravado, and he thinks he can handle them, and it's just like that kind of in the background, it's building toward that meeting. You know, and it was just such a good movie. I never would have guessed it was a noir, though, but I haven't seen it in like 25 years. So what about The Big Sleep? Are you a fan?
Oh, yeah. I do like The Big Sleep. That movie is one of those films not made for plot hole, you know, people because the plot's not important.
Right.
Just go with the vibes.
Exactly. Have you seen the show? It's a detective show, Bosch.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Okay, it's Titus Welliver is the main character, and it's got very noirish, you know, pouring a scotch, listening to jazz, and you got the lights of LA, and he's trying to find this bad guy, and he can't stop smoking. It has so many great noir elements, but mixed with kind of modern day, I don't want to say machismo, because it's a very well-rounded show, I think, but I'd be interested to know your take on that if you thought it was qualified as a noir TV show.
It sounds like it does.
Yeah. Well, I wish you luck with Noirvember. I think it's really cool. If you're listening right now, check out Mariah's social media platforms. Go to hashtag Noirvember on pretty much all the platforms, right? And you can find...
people use it.
Yeah. We have about 1 minute left, Mariah. Do you have any thoughts on, or were you a fan of Terry Garr?
Yeah. If it weren't for Terry Garr, my parents would not have gotten together. They went to see Young Frankenstein for their very first date, and that's how they got together. And so Terry Garr, Mel Brooks, all of the people in that movie, if it wasn't for them, I don't think I would be here. So,
oh, wow.
I always love Terry Garr.
That should be your next hashtag campaign, I think. That sounds that's great. Agree. I'm a huge fan, and she was so great in so many movies and had so many late night talk shows. She just cracked me up. She was so funny. And I always thought when someone makes Letterman laugh or Johnny Carson, I'm like, that's a really funny person. And she was just hilarious and a phenomenal actor. So
I also recommend people check out One from the Heart, which there's a restoration that just came out. And
it's
a gorgeous, interesting, you know, strange film, but she's so beautiful in it and so just empathetic and lovely and bubbling and everything you love about Terry Garr, but in a musical.
That's outstanding. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy Noirvember, and I hope we get to do this again soon. Thanks so much, Mariah.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right, that's Mariah Gates. Check out Noirvember. We are coming right back with Jenny Slate will be here after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The candidates are making their final arguments in swing states that'll decide the election. Kamala Harris quoting a Donald Trump statement in Las Vegas.
He said that he will do what he wants, now I'm about to quote, whether the women like it or not.
Trump spoke a few miles away in Henderson, Nevada.
And we will stop illegal immigration once and for all. We will not be invaded. We will not be occupied. We will not be overrun.
A seven-week strike that's shut down Boeing assembly lines may be nearing an end. Cairo Radio's Matt Markovich has more from Seattle.
The union says, quote, there is a point where we have extracted everything we can by bargaining and withholding our labor. We are at that point now and risk a lesser offer in the future.
Boeing has offered 38% wage increases over 4 years and larger signing bonuses for the striking workers. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. At 5-3, Luke Fickell asked if he's concerned about getting to a bowl game this year.
All we're thinking about is Iowa. And, I mean, to think anything past that is crazy.
NFL, the Packers injury list growing. Defensive back Jaire Alexander with a knee injury. Jordan Love with a groin. Starting center Josh Myers with a severe left wrist injury that could prevent him from blocking and pass protection.
It's really just going to depend on how I feel these next couple days, you know, and whether or not I feel like I can do it. I think the big thing for me is I just got to make sure I'm not going to hurt the team by playing, you know, so I just have to answer that question.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Grizzlies 122-99. A lot of missed open shots.
This may be the greatest make-miss night ever. The defensive transition was still awful tonight.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. They host the Cavaliers tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. U.S. Congressman Adam Schiff is proposing legislation that would help keep film and TV production here in the United States. Variety reports that the film industry has wanted these incentives for a long time to help keep production from going overseas. Production in the U.S. has dropped consistently the last 3 years. Variety says the federal incentives would supplement incentives that already exist in states like Georgia, New Mexico, and Illinois. The shower scene in the film Psycho is iconic and made people scared to take showers. Compared to a new shower scene in Terrifier 3, the Psycho scene would be considered subtle, maybe even a love scene. Terrifier 3 is getting attention from the amount of people walking out of the film absolutely disgusted with said scene. One person in the UK actually vomited while watching the scene where two lovers are chainsawed to death in the shower. Filmmakers used 110 gallons of blood. What's really scary is there were probably some people in the audience watching with a smile on their face. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid to upper 40s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine, warmer, mid to upper 50s. And then we have more rain on the way Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me. Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison entertainment critic and CityCast Madison editor Rob Thomas. And it's Friday, which means Terry Barr will be here for Bar Band Friday Night with some most excellent new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time, actress Jenny Slate. Jenny, welcome to Nightlight and welcome to Wisconsin.
Hi, Pete. Thank you. It's good to be back in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So, okay. That tells me this is not your first time here. Tell us a little bit about your visit and how it's going.
Well, I'm here because I have a new book out called Life Form, and I'm touring around the country, and I'm doing a show here tonight at the Orpheum, and I'm also here to get out the vote for Kamala Harris and tell people how to do that and, generally spread like a joyful spirit.
That sounds good to me. So what does that entail, Jenny? Typically, are you canvassing? Are you just giving pep talks? How is your contribution going here? What are you doing?
You know, a lot of it is about using my, social media platform to just like give basic information and honestly, like having conversations like this where I, remind people that early voting is underway. For example, that you can vote at any early voting site in your municipality, things like that. And also that, I have a lot of stress around my absentee ballot and that kind of thing. And it just sort of like making that more normal for people and just being like, you can register to vote even during early voting right now, even on election day up till, the witching hour, the very end. Things like that. Just getting information because it's so, so important that people, especially in Wisconsin, go out and vote, especially when it's going to come down to about like 2 or 3 votes per ward. It's just so, so crucial. And that also means being able to tell people that, like, they're really important and what they prefer and what they want for their world matters, and this is how they can make that difference for themselves.
Very well said. And I think you're right. Anything to cut down confusion for anybody voting as to where they can do it, how they can do it, when they have to get this or that in by really helps a lot. What are some of the issues for you personally that are important in this election that you want people to know about?
You know, for me, I would say the most important thing is, of course, the reproductive rights issue. And I myself have a human body. I happen to have a little daughter. But generally, I want to live in a world where people can decide what they want for their own bodies and where the government does not tell them what to do with their bodies. I really want that freedom. And I know that Kamala Harris is trying to protect us that, when she's president, she will reinstate all of those reproductive freedoms that are so have been so restricted already. And that's kind of central for me. And also just like coming from a place of joy, coming from a place of positivity, really wanting to build a beautiful world for myself and my daughters. That also includes like what happens to the environment, how we all treat each other. And I think Kamala stands for all of, those like respectful, joyful, caring objectives.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a great answer. Have you gotten any resistance since you've been here? Are people like you talk about joy? Have you experienced that with the people you're talking to help you get out the vote?
Yeah, I have.
Good.
And I think that, while Donald Trump wants us all to be really freaked out and to feel really isolated, the fact is that there are so many people who are excited to just, as they say, turn the page, that to just like be a part of something new and be a part of a new way forward. And that it feels so good to be a part of a big positive group. It's literally the opposite of being isolated and like super pissed off. And I would prefer to feel that I'm being active, to feel that I am being courageous, and that it's actually a pretty light lift when it comes down to it, because that is a lovely, lovely way to exist and to, feel your human spirit.
Well, you definitely, okay, so in your career, I'm not surprised at all by your answers because you have done so many great things in the comedy genre. I assume that's your genre of choice, and you've done live action, you've done voiceover. What do you prefer? Do you like just doing voices, or do you prefer live action and playing off of someone?
I actually prefer live action, and it is because I am, like, hyper gregarious, and I just, like being around other people. Yeah, and I also have, like, learned in my own career that coming from a place of, like, combo, joy, tenderness, and, like, true comedy is the way that I've actually felt the most powerful. And I think it's been really good for me to use that sort of set of emotions or qualities or talents that I've already developed in my creative work to go out there and generally, like, affect our world for the better by voting for Kamala and helping other people do that as well.
Even though you said live action, I'm going to ask you about Bob's Burgers. Have you had
Me
a great?
Too. I love that show.
Have you had a great experience? I just mentioned off air that we have a mutual friend, John Schrader, who writes for the show. It's a great show, and it seems like a great staff and crew. What's that experience been like?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I can hardly record that show because I laugh so hard. That and The Great North, you know, I'm on both of those shows.
Yeah.
They're just so dear to my heart. And like, there's no bad apples there. Everybody is a true sweetheart. And the scripts are continually so funny that, yeah, like I laugh so much while I'm doing my work. And I feel like that's kind of like, geez, what a gigantic luxury to be able to be that happy. Plus, they let me do my own fart noises, which is, you know, of course, a big badge of honor for me.
I'm not even going to ask you about how you research such things, but I do appreciate
just
your...
Just by living life.
That's fantastic. Jenny, I know you have to run and get to other interviews. Keep up the great work here in Wisconsin. Good luck getting out the vote and continued success in your career. We're watching and we're big fans.
Thanks. You're so great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right. That's Jenny Slate. She is here in Wisconsin to help get out the vote and was nice enough to answer some showbiz questions, too, which is always fun. So I fully admit that I, you know, like, politics aren't my first thing that I like to talk about in the air, but if I can get someone on the show like Jenny Slate or Adam Brody with the help of Civic Media, I'm totally going to do it because it's worth it. And getting out the vote is important. And you know what cracks me up? When people say, I don't care who you vote for. I just hope people vote. That is such BS. Nobody wants the other side to vote. They want you to stay home. That's how Ben Affleck used to be. I just want people to vote. Get out there and vote. It's almost like, what are you, Mr. Rah-Rah? I don't know. Conrad, what religion are you, and who are you going to vote for, and how much do you make a year? That was Jenny Slate. It was so much fun talking to her the other day. She just has such a great personality. She's so funny. And, man, is she on a run. She, as she mentioned, all these shows she's on, and she does such a great job, whether it's live action or animation. She has so much fun. Oh, we're getting costume people walking by the window. Did you see the guy in the Terrifier costume? Awful. But it was really fun to talk to her. And she did a show that night, I think she said, at the Orpheum, a one-woman show that sounded like a lot of fun, too. It would have been fun to go to that. But we have one more clip from her. Let's play that. This is from Parks and Rec, right?
Yes.
All right. So this is Jenny Slate, the guest we just had on the show in a pre-record. And this is her. This is a scene from Parks and Rec with Jenny Slate.
Daddy, someone set a fire in your car because you took too long and I got bored. Money, please.
Oh, no. There's no money.
Oh, my bad. No problem.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. I'll just destroy this office.
Oh, hey!
Money, please!
Ben, give her some money. It's easier.
That's very funny.
It's actually who plays her dad is Henry Winkler.
Yes. I've seen that show. I've not seen a ton of episodes of Parks and Rec, but the ones I've seen, I really liked. Did you? Who was your favorite character on Parks and Rec?
Why can't I think of her name? Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, Aubrey Plaza's hilarious. Yeah.
I can't think of the name. Who she plays is hilarious.
Yeah. And who's the older guy? Jerry? He's yeah. really funny.
The one clip we pulled of him, wasn't that Halloween, kind of? Well, they were dressed up and they scared him.
And he was farting. He was having a heart attack and he couldn't stop farting.
Yes.
And it was just brutal. That was so funny. And he was, he's just a funny guy in general, though. Like every scene with him, he just looks the part and he's very funny. But Jenny Slate is hilarious on that show, too. That voice of hers cracks me up. And what was she doing? We played the Saturday Night Live clip earlier.
Yes, yes.
What was that accent supposed to be?
I think it was supposed to be like a Jersey accent.
Oh, God, it was funny. All right, here's another clip. I wanted to get to this because Adam Brody was on the show the other day from the Netflix show Nobody Wants This. I talked to him a little bit about his role in Promising Young Woman, where he was great. He was on The OC. He also played Greg Brady, I think, on a Brady Bunch movie in like the late 90s. I think that kind of helped launch his career. But this is a scene from the show Nobody Wants This on Netflix with Adam Brody and Kristen Bell, and it's pretty self-explanatory. They're sort of being a couple.
Self-sabotage all you want, but I think you should get over it. Because, Joanne, I'm on your side. I can handle you. Was it the sport coat?
I mean, part of it's that you keep referring to it as a sport coat.
Okay. It is a sport coat. Doesn't matter. That's not what matters. Here's what matters. I really like you. Like, a lot, okay? And you like me, too, so stop pretending that you don't.
Fine. I do.
You do what?
I do like you.
Wait. You have to say it while I'm wearing the sport coat. Otherwise, it's not real.
I don't know if I can.
Let's consummate this. You can say it to the sport coat.
Right? Okay.
Sense, right?
Okay, fine. I really like you. I really like you. But also, you said Prego with an accent.
I knew it was wrong the second
Don't
it came out.
Do that.
I knew it.
I can't I have sex it. With you and have that in the back of my head.
Do you want to go upstairs and test that theory?
He's got a very good everyman quality. He reminds me of a young Tom Hanks. And it was funny, like, when I had him on the show, when I was interviewing him, and I think we aired that Monday night, I asked him, I said, what do you, you know, something like to the effect that, what do you call a sports coat? Is it a sports coat? And there's always that fear when you ask someone that he's not going to remember the line or whatever. And there's going to be radio silence. But he did right away. And he was a great sport about it. And he said, what else do you call it? And I don't know what else to call it either. A sports jacket? What the hell was that? Was that one of those Conrad sound effects? Like, this is what I think a sports jacket would say if it could talk? Is that...
No, it's...
Did you trip and fall on the wrong button?
I did.
What do you call a sports coat? It's a big debate on this show.
I just call it a jacket, if anything.
Suit coat? Sports jacket?
I'll just say I got to bring my jacket. That's just everything.
Yeah. It's all encompassing. And do you bring the jacket that says Master Bader's on it?
I don't wear this any other day besides Halloween, if I'm being honest.
What about when you go fishing? You don't wear
you
that?
Know, actually, I don't go fishing ever, but if next time I do, I'm going to bring it.
Well, are you worried your fishing buddies are going to take it the wrong way and suggest a little party out on the lake that you're not in favor of?
No, I just think they'll think it's funny, but...
I hope so.
They've seen it many times anyways.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so when we come back, this is a very funny thing. On John Oliver's show, which is one of the best shows on TV... Will Ferrell rewrote Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. We're going to play that next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know you laughed. To take me away,
take me away,
take me away,
take me away,
ho ho hee hee, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes and their cutting to take me away.
I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh?
Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about tariffs. We keep hearing this economic term bandied around. And politicians who are talking up tariffs want us to think that it's a good idea to put fees on foreign goods. It's going to, like, protect American businesses and consumers. Turns out, that's not always the case. We can't tax companies that are overseas, so we end up taxing the mostly American-owned and run companies that are just bringing goods in from around the world. So if tariffs go up by 20%, history and studies show that those companies are going to pass those extra costs right on to me and you. I don't know about you. While prices are coming down, I can't afford to pay 20% more for what I'm buying. So next time you hear some politician talking about tariffs, just remember, the ones being proposed are a tax on Americans being paid by Americans. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In case you were wondering, yes, I am on work release. I need to get back to my holding cell. Back to the Huskow to stick with the film noir motif that we were going with earlier, thanks to Mariah Gates. This has been fun. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening. Tom from New Berlin says, that was the beginning of Everyone Should Get Stoned. This from the 60s. Tom says, thanks, brought back memories. A friend had the 45. That's not a gun. I don't know that song, but I'm glad we made Tom feel good. That was exciting.
I got to thank...
Wait, he's saying Thriller, though.
Yeah, that's the one I just played.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I got to thank Amanda for putting all these Halloween music together.
Oh, okay. A shout out to Amanda Nimmer.
Yes.
Outstanding. We have a really fun show tomorrow night, folks, too. Madison film critic Rob Thomas will be here. He is also the CityCast Madison editor. We'll talk movies with Rob, and then it is a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will swing by with new music that will knock our socks off like it does every week and sparkling conversation. And then Monday, I'll be doing the show from Madison. And Mascot Theory, Eric from Mascot Theory, will be in the studio performing. That will be fun. And Mike Rowe, Futurama and King of the Hill writer, will be on the show. We'll talk about Mike's book and comedy in general and those great shows he's been a part of. He's a very prolific TV writer. And that's Monday night show, too. Tuesday night, there will be election coverage during this time. And then we'll be back at it again on Wednesday. So lots of fun coming up on Nightlight the next few nights. And if you want to get in, a last-second text in, our question tonight was, where do you rank Halloween? Is it your favorite? Is it your fourth favorite? Where do you rank it on the scale? I think I'm going to go. I'm like seventh or eighth. I'm even taking down Arbor Day over Halloween at this point in my life because I'm like, I have fun with it on the radio. I'm dressing the part. But I don't look forward to it. It helps you plan radio shows. I love that part of it. We talk about scary movies and fun music. So anyway, all right. So we have a fun clip here. This is John Oliver. If you are not watching John Oliver, his show on HBO on Max Last Week Tonight, check it out. John is so funny and makes such great points about current events. And he does it all using comedy, and it's brilliant. He is the show is absolutely brilliant. And this is a song that we found. Will Ferrell sings this song. He kind of did a new version of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA because John Oliver heard that Lee Greenwood charged the United States to use that song to play for immigrants when they become citizens. So John thought the song should be a little different, so he had his pal Will Ferrell help him out.
You studied hard. You did your best. Filled out the forms and passed the test. Now you're part of a land that's so God bless. And starting today, you're American. There's corn dogs and apple pie. Fireworks lighting up the sky. NASCAR rodeo barbecue. That stuff's American. Now so are you. You learned our presidents and our laws. I think it's time to mention our flaws. We're a real big country with real big problems. We're kind of hoping you could help us solve them. Televangelists and fossil fuels. Metal detectors in all our schools. Private prisons and Mountain Dew. That stuff's American, now they're your problem too. Student debt and CTE, the war on drugs, Scientology, Boeing Airlines and Ted Cruz. They're all American, now so are you. Nowadays it's harder to be free. Hard to be the country that we ought to be. You weren't born here, you volunteered to join your fate to the great and the just plain queen. So get ready for it. Truck nuts and jet ski tricks. Santa con and food on sticks. Thousands of medical bankruptcies. Plantation weddings and Chuck E. Cheese, big goats, and LL Bean. Tornado scared Halloween. Holy s***, I just remembered the coup. That's us, American. We sure ain't perfect, but here's to the fight. The brightest future is the one you'll ride. Wherever you come from, wherever you roam. Fellow Americans. Fellow Americans.
That has some laugh out loud lyrics. Very funny stuff from Will Ferrell and John Oliver. Check out Last Week Tonight on Max Sunday nights. Very funny show and very insightful points that they make about current events and old folks' homes and all kinds of stuff. That was the most recent one I saw. It was great. So, hey, everybody, thank you so much for being with me tonight. I'd like to thank my guests, Mike Siegel, who helped us make our popcorn pick of the week, Mariah Gates, the film critic, and Jenny Slate from Parks and Rec and Bob's Burgers. All of them so fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for your text. We'll be back here to do this again tomorrow night with a new version of Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Let's hear some Brian Boitano. I think we've earned it. Good night, everybody.
We can't do anything. Our mom's organization is too strong.
Well, then we'll round up all the grounded kids in town and start our own organization. An organization to help save Terrence and Phillip.
Hey, yeah, our own secret club.
I guess that could work.
We have to try. What would Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do.
When Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold, he did 2 sal cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold.
When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maiden's fair.
So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, a Tracy Olson of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.